Good morning, everyone. You may be seated still. Yeah, not yet. I'll tell you when. The first thing I have to do is I have to apologize. So I'm going to get that out of the way. For some of you today, this message is not going to mean anything. It's going to have no value to you. And for that, I'm truly sorry. Because for some of you, everything that God has promised you in your life, you are walking in the fulfillment of it. Amen. And this message will not mean anything to you. For some of you, your marriages, your family, your children, your friends, everything is wonderful. There are no issues at home. There's no issues in your marriage. There's no issues with your children. And even if you have them, grandchildren, everything is wonderful to you. I'm really sorry. For some of you, work could not be better. Money could not be better. Oh my goodness, your retirement fund could not be better. The home you're living in is everything you dreamed and hoped for, and God promised to you, even down to the car you never expected, and yet you're driving it, and you are the envy on the road. To you, I apologize. So, for the next 15, 20 minutes, if any of that is you, you have my permission to tune out, go on Facebook, do whatever you need. But if you're still waiting on the promises of God, if you are still anticipating God to move on your behalf, if there is something in your life that you have been crying out to God, how long, oh God, how long? I pray this message is for you. Amen. It's going to be a great departure for me today. It's going to be a great departure for you today. Amen. But 2 weeks ago, God began to speak this word to me before I realized I was preaching this Sunday. All right. And I said, man, Lord, that's pretty good. He goes, yeah, get it ready. I go, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, live it. What? I love it when God does that. He said, live it, Scott. I'm talking to you. Amen. Amen. He is talking to me. He is talking to you. He is talking to us. Amen. Then I realized, oh my goodness, this is the Sunday that we're having our annual meeting. Which, by the way, for those of you who's looked at the calendar and said, oh, an annual meeting, I'm going to tell you right now, this will be the new meeting. This will be the new standard for Church of the Messiah. We have come through a long and very prosperous season. Amen. When Father Looker and the team stand up before you today and present to you, dare I say, the new format of our annual meeting, you will not want to miss it. And I pray by the end of this service, God is even adding to what Father Looker's going to tell us right now. Amen. Amen. I'm speaking it out in faith, y'all. You don't have to believe it. I believe it. And that's what matters. My text today, thank goodness I didn't have to preach on that gospel. Whoa! Oh, thank you, Lord. You knew what you were doing. I'm going to preach from the epistle today, and I'm going to focus on these words. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, and that has been hidden. And that God destined for our glory before time began. Amen. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, and this is what we need to pay attention to today, church. Whenever Scripture says, it is written, pay attention. Because he's getting ready to tell you something straight from the Father's heart. Amen. It is written. No eye has seen. Amen. No ear has heard. No mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You need to hear it. No eye has seen. And now I'm going to give you a little instruction in the middle of it. You ain't seen nothing yet. Your eyes haven't seen it. Guess what? I don't care what your eye is seeing today. Your eye has not seen. Your ear might have heard a bad report this week. Your ear might have heard something going on horrible in your family, in your job, in your life. Your ear might have heard something horrible going on with somebody that you love very dearly. Amen. But no ear has heard what God has. Amen. No eye has seen what God has. Amen. There's still something out there for you. Amen. There's still something out there for us. Amen. We have not seen it yet. We have not heard it yet. And here's the kicker. You haven't even thunk of it yet. You don't even know how big it's going to be. You don't even know how great it's going to be. You have no clue what God has in store for you, for me, for Church of Messiah. We have no idea because we're not Him. But we have evidence. We have evidence of what God has done. And since we have evidence of what God has done, we can have hope and faith of what God will do. Amen. You hear me? Amen. Okay. What stirred this message up was I was on the internet clicking on some videos, and this preacher came up and gave a 45-second... And it was like just blew up on me. He said this. One chapter of your life does not tell the story of the whole book. Aren't we grateful for that? One act of the scene does not tell the whole play. You know what? If somebody came into your life at a certain moment in time, either past or present, if they came into your life, they would be very unwise to judge your destiny by what's happening right now. It would A, be unfair. B, it would only be a chapter or a scene. It's not the whole story. Where you are today is not your destiny. Amen. Where you find yourself today is not the end of your story. Amen. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store. Hallelujah. For those who love Him. Now, I'm taking a big jump here, but I think it's a pretty safe jump. You're here today because you love God. Amen. That's why you're in church on a Sunday. You love God at whatever level you're able to love Him at this moment. No matter what happened during the week, you know you still love God. Amen. Then this promise is for you. This promise is for me. Amen. This promise is for us. Amen. I don't care what it looked like yesterday. I don't care how it looks today. There's a destiny out there. There's a hope out there. God has a plan for us. And it's to prosper us. And it's to bless us and not to do us harm. Come on, church. We've got to get this into us. Because we're getting ready to enter into a new time. Prophetically, I am saying this church is on the edge of walking in something that no one's ever heard or seen or conceived. Hallelujah. And it's going to be greater than the past glory. Hallelujah. I am talking to you individually. I don't care what your struggle is today. I don't care what the kids are doing. I don't care what the checkbook says. I don't care what the boss says. I don't care what your wife or your husband says. I'm telling you what God says. God has a destiny for each one of us. I hope this isn't too much for y'all today. I'm going to give you an example, and now I'm getting ready to mesmerize you with my incredible visual aids. Because, you know, here at Church of the Messiah, we do things up. Christian, this is what Christian was waiting for, right? I got to set him up. This is his big debut. He's going to assist me today. That's a year. I know it might be hard for those in the back. It says 1977. 1977. What the world is 1977? I'm going to tell you. 1977 is the day that God intervened in my life. That is the day when I finally surrendered my life to Jesus. That is the day I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, since that year, 1977, my life has never been the same. If you would have been in the scene of my life pre that, you might be falling out of your chair right now watching me stand up here and preach. You would not believe it. I still have friends this day that I haven't seen for 30, 35 years. And they go on my Facebook and they see me in my collar. See me doing something at church. And I get these little instant messages. What? In 1980, I'm here in 1980 now. If you had a scene of my life, you would see that at that point of time in our life, Cindy was the spiritual head of our family. All right. Because I wasn't there yet. I was still learning. I was still trying to mature. I was still trying to fight it. Amen. Cindy was the spiritual head of our home. All right. I know I'm not talking to anybody here today. I'm just letting you know that I don't care where you are, God's got something better.
Yes, He does. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come over here to 1980. When my, no, oh, I'm sorry. 1977. Yeah. Yeah, 1980. Cindy was still the, and still in 1980. Thank you. It was a long year. It seemed like a long year. You all hear the story. I'm not going to beat it all over again, but just suffice it to say, Cindy, we had Alan in 1980. And early on in the pregnancy, the doctor said the baby was dead. When I saw God's hand move, that once again changed my life forever. Guess what? Cindy was no longer the spiritual head of our family. Amen. I can't do it without her. Don't get me the wrong way. But I just had to take my place. Okay? I can go year after year after year after year. And if you were to walk into that scene that Saturday night when I was on the rooftop screaming out to God, cussing Him, asking Him why did He bless us with a child only to take it away, you might judge my life a little different. Right? But now 36 years later, when we get to see the fruit of God's promise to Cindy and I, amen, in the ministry that Alan has, and guess what? We still haven't seen the end of it.
Hallelujah.
That's still just a scene. It's still just a chapter. Amen. Quit defining yourself by where you are today.
Amen.
Define yourself by the promises that God has spoken into your life.
Amen.
Grab hold of them and look for them because they're coming. He's not a man that He would lie. He promised you, your children would serve Him. I don't care what they're doing today. They will serve Him. It's not up to them anymore. God said, let's look at the life of Joseph for a minute. Joseph, and let me get this right, because I know my fellow priests will talk to me afterwards when I get things wrong. Chapter 37, you're doing great. Stay right there. You were doing wonderful. I thought I told you to wear the garnet shirt. Okay. Chapter 37 of Genesis, we see Joseph, the youngest of the children, highly favored from his father, given a coat of many colors. If I jumped into Joseph's life at that moment, I'd say, man, this guy Joseph, he's got it going on. He is going to be a force to reckon with. I go about three paragraphs later, and all of a sudden he's in a pit because his brothers sold him out. And then he was taken into slavery.
Amen.
He was sold into slavery. If I hop into Joseph's life at the moment he's sold into slavery, boy, he really did something wrong. God is mad at him. I mean... You know what I'm saying. Because we're talking about Joseph. But I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about you and you and you. No one's exempt from this, y'all. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about Father Looker. I'm talking about Father Ed. I'm talking about Father Lon. We're in this together.
Amen.
The struggle is real.
Amen.
But God is bigger.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, He is.
At the end of 37, once he's in the pit, he goes into 38, chapter 38 and 39. And he's sold to Potiphar. And he rises up to be a head servant. Okay? If I saw Joseph at that time, you really are doing good. Because there's still more. There's still more. I'm not going to feed you. Okay. He's in the master's house, and he's risen to be the head servant. And things are looking pretty good. Hey, this slave's doing pretty good. Then he gets accused by the wife.
Okay.
And he's thrown into jail. Well, if I saw that scene of Joseph's life, and he's in jail because he's accused of messing with somebody's wife, I'm going to say, well, Joseph, you deserve it. Joseph, you deserve it. But I didn't do it. Yeah, everybody in prison with you didn't do it. There's nobody in prison that did it. How do you or I know if they did or didn't? Only God knows. And then we go to chapter 41. And he read the dreams. And Pharaoh calls him. And now he's living in the palace.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He is no longer a slave.
Hallelujah.
He is second in command of Egypt.
Amen.
He is second in command of Egypt.
Hallelujah.
If I stopped right there and I entered into that scene of Joseph's life, all that other stuff wouldn't have mattered.
No, it wouldn't.
But it really mattered when he was in the pit. And it really mattered when he was in jail and falsely accused. But now he's sitting in the... Oh, and by the way, he ends up delivering the entire nation of Israel. No eye had seen, no ear had heard, no mind could conceive what God had in store for Joseph. But we certainly would have judged him here, 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 and here. Would we not? I could feel it. Y'all could feel it. That was truth. As you're all thinking about, wow, I've done that. Quit doing it to yourself.
Amen.
Quit judging where you are in your life today.
Amen.
Quit judging where is God when He's right there.
Amen.
If you can see it in other people's life, oh Lord, give us the ability to see it in our own life.
Amen.
Does that mean that we quit trying? Oh no. Does that mean that we just, oh, excuse it all away? Oh, God's not finished with me yet. Yeah, I'd be a little careful there.
Amen.
But what it does mean is don't let it beat you down to the place where you've given up hope.
Amen.
With God, there is always hope.
Amen.
Your mind cannot conceive what God has.
Amen.
Throughout Scripture, the storyline is always the same. There's somebody in a lot of trouble, and God shows up.
Amen. Yes, He does.
Okay. No greater do we see than in the story of Lazarus. Need I remind you, he was dead.
Yes, he was.
He was so dead, surely he stinketh. What's dead in your life? That every time you look at it, it smells. But yet, you know in your heart of heart, God said yes and amen.
Amen.
Get ready for Lazarus to come out of that tomb again.
Hallelujah.
Whatever his name is in your life, he's coming.
Thank you.
He's coming. It's not over.
Amen.
You know, the saying goes, it's not over until the fat lady sings.
Yes,
and this church... It ain't over until God says it's over.
Amen.
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 And if He ain't said it's over, it's not over.
Amen.
All right. I got another date for you. Here you go. Here's another big moment. Here's another plate. Hold that one. That date says 1992. 1992, 25 years ago, 25 years ago, Church of Messiah was formed, 1992, 25 years, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, 25. Don't you dare try to write the whole story by seeing a scene or reading one chapter of what God has for us. Did you hear the words that were given today? The one that really jumped out at me. I have moved heaven and earth for you in this time.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You ever wondered why are we still here?
Amen.
Have you ever said, how long, O God, how long? He's not done writing the story yet.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you, story's already written. We're not done reading it yet.
Amen.
There is still so much for us to do. There is still so much that God has planned for this body and for this church. I don't care what you think it is. I don't care what your clergy think it is. I'm going to tell you what God thinks it is.
Amen.
No eye has seen. No ear has heard.
Amen.
No mind can conceive what God has planned for those who love Him.
Amen.
The one thing the leadership of this church knows beyond a shadow of a doubt is that this is a faithful congregation that loves God and has a heart to serve God. Don't you think for a minute God is not going to honor that. Don't you think for a minute God is not going to bless that. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I can't even think about what it's going to be. But I just know it is.
Amen.
Don't define your life
Amen.
By where you are today.
Amen.
Don't define this church's life by where we are today.
Amen.
But rather, let us look at the God that we serve. For He is our hope. He is our promise.
Amen.
He is our destiny. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's hear it for Christian. Yeah.